Welcome to the Global Missions Inc. podcast. This week's episode features Richard Holt with a message called Walking the Path to Maturity.
I can remember when we were raising a family, you know, young children, you didn't talk to them in big language that they couldn't comprehend, not if you wanted results anyway. You kind of get down to where they're at and you talk to them so they can hear. And you usually have to say it more than once, unless your families are quite different than mine. But you had to kind of repeat things. But they started to get it, you know. They started to get it. And it does something for you, doesn't it? Finally, you see some growth, some maturity. And you just can't help but feel that here this morning, you know. The Lord is just kind of moving in our midst and leading us ever so gently. I mean, it's just wonderful. The way that the Spirit of the Lord leads us. He is the gentle shepherd. He. When we need to just stop and recollect our thoughts and our positions, everything just stops. He just waits, and then he moves us on. And he walks with us in every circumstance. There's no circumstance that we can be in that is beyond his ability to deal with it. Amen. How do we know that? How do we know that's true? I'll tell you how we know it, by experience. Sometimes we think, you know, I didn't deserve to be in this circumstance. Oh, thank you. I didn't deserve to be in these circumstances. You know, I've been trying my very best, and now all of this has happened. Well, he is raising sons and daughters who will take responsibility, that we'll have the ability to take responsibility. And we learn and we grow and we mature by the road and the path that we walk on. And we can say with confidence that I know that the Lord is here. I know that the Lord can help. And why can we say that? Because we have been there and he has helped and he has been with us and he has not forsaken us. Can we say amen to that? We have been there. You know, I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to think this guy's, you know, should do better than this. But I can remember, this harkens back to university days, if you like, which is a long time ago. But I can remember writing an exam in university many years ago and thinking, you know, sometimes you don't always think as you ought to think. And I'm thinking, I'm going to skip the last couple of classes, and I think the exam's going to be on this stuff, and I'm going to just use my time to really study this stuff. And then when I got the next day, I got to the exam, there was 5 questions, 20 points apiece. And on the last day of classes, the professor had told them what was going to be on the exam, and it was everything that I had not studied. It was, I could not have been less prepared. And this was a fairly difficult course in thermodynamics. And oh boy, you know. But I'll tell you this, I did a little bit of praying at that point. Anybody been there? Yes. But I'll tell you this, 2 things. I think the Lord sees our heart and our intentions and our lack of wisdom sometimes, and He steps in anyway. But I can tell you this, that the Lord knows something about thermodynamics. I can tell you that. I think my grade was almost the highest grade in that test. Yeah. It was right up there. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way to study. I think he expects us to give it our very best. But sometimes when we get it wrong a little bit, he doesn't abandon us. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. I'm so thankful for that. I would like to just read a few scriptures here this morning, something that's been on my heart for a while. And, you know, we have a tremendous example in the scriptures of our Lord. You know, we serve someone who has walked this road before us. He's not afar off. He's not unfamiliar with the circumstances of life. He actually walked them. He walked through the circumstances that we are walking in. I mean, that must have been a tremendous commitment, if that's the right word, on his part, to say, yes, I'll do that. I'll come down there and I'll walk with these folks and set an example. But, you know, we're just reading this in Luke. This is Luke 12 and verse 50. When Jesus was kind of getting to the end of his ministry on earth, he said to, he was talking to his disciples, and he said to them that I have a baptism to be baptized with. This is Luke 12 and 50. And how straitened, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? I remember reading that and thinking, he was looking, he was getting time to, it was approaching the time when he knew he would have to lay down his life. He knew that that was the course that had been set before him. He would have to lay down his life and go to the cross and bear the sins of the world upon his shoulders. You know, he would have to be that sacrificial lamb. And when I have read that before, and when I've read it before, I've always kind of felt that he was, as I think any of us would be, very burdened, very stressed, if you like, by this path that was immediately before him. And he was facing that, and as he approached that, his words were, how I am straitened until that would be accomplished. And I for some reason, I read this again not so long ago, and just a different thing seemed to come to light about that. That he was not really saying that. He was, no doubt it was difficult, but he was not really saying that. What he was saying was, how limited I am until this can be accomplished. He was there performing that ministry that had been given to him. He was walking, setting that example, teaching, and all of those things, but he was one man. When he went to the cross, he broke the yoke and opened the door for his whole body to come together. This is the result of the work that he accomplished at that point. And I'll tell you this, he is no longer straitened anymore. That body, that door has been opened. That yoke has been broken. We are being joined together with him, joined together in ministry. His ministry is falling upon the church. He is no longer one individual walking and doing that work that needs to be done. He has this body that is administering with that authority, bringing his kingdom into order and setting those things into their place. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's not very good. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We are part of that ministry. He has taken of himself and taken that ministry and laid it upon each one of us. No one of us has any great component. Like, we're like members of our natural body. The thumb can't go around and say, I'm the body of Christ. Well, it's, you know, in part that's true. But what can a thumb do, you know? Not much. But joined to the hand, its ability increases. Joined to the arm, its ability increases in even more. Joined to the rest of the body, even more. But joined to the hand, it's doing the right thing. Amen?
Amen.
We don't act on our own. We don't walk on our own. But we walk under that headship of Christ. And as this body comes into order, it comes under that headship. You know, you look at a little child I can remember when our children were really young. Remember our firstborn, first daughter, Megan, and when she was just learning to walk, and, you know, she was, you know, parents kind of just kind of almost write down everything they do, you know. But they, you know, wonderful, she's learning to walk. But I was watching her learning to walk, and she'd take about two steps, and then flop, you know, right on the floor, and then climb back up again, two more steps, and wobble along and flop. I can remember thinking, you know, if that was me, I would just give up, you know. I mean, this is not going to work. You know, I'm just going to go back to that crib and that's it. But there is a drive that the Lord has also put in the heart of the child that they will never quit. They will never quit until they can walk and run and come to maturity. And you know what? I think the Lord has put that same drive in us. We are very thankful for what the Lord has done for us. We are, I think if he was watching us, we might think we're a lot more advanced than what he sees. But I think when he sees us, that flow of prophecy, and we're taking those steps, he's saying, that's right, keep coming, keep coming. That's growth. That's maturity. That's the body of Christ. And I just love the prophecies even this morning, you know, talking to us a bit about what the path is before us. This world is destined to be transformed by the moving of the Spirit and the work of the body of Christ. There is a tidal wave in that cannot be stopped. You know, the Lord has set that into motion, that there is only one thing that will happen, that it will come to its fulfillment exactly as he has said. That's the only possible outcome. We have a choice whether or not to participate in that, but the outcome is certain. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. All right. So I mentioned that scripture in Luke about how he was straightened until this process had been accomplished. And that has been accomplished. He is no longer limited to one man, but there is a body that is coming into order of which we are a part. And, you know, the Lord gave instruction. I'll just read for you in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." There is an instruction, but there is also authority that goes with direction. And he has put it into the hands of the body to do that work. That we not only have a responsibility to walk in what the Lord has set before us, we also have a responsibility to carry that work. Amen. And to take it wherever he opens the doors. And he is opening doors. He is opening the way. You can't say it's in his purpose to have this company that will just walk right. He said, "Go ye and teach all nations." That's a pretty big, it's a pretty big scope. You know, I've had the privilege to walk and work together with some of these other brethren that have gone and visited different places. And it has been a remarkable experience. It has been a remarkable experience. It is a remarkable experience. We have had the opportunity, and these other brethren I'm sure can testify to that, to step into other countries and other cultures that could not be more different than anything you could imagine. You know, I've had the privilege to, I've not been to India and some of these others, but I've had the privilege of spending some time in Africa. I can remember being there for the first few times and thinking, whoa, you know, You go there, first of all, they don't speak English. Second of all, they don't have accommodations like we're used to. Third, we're not sure what they know and what they don't know. And you wonder, you know, is this going to work? Is there, what can the Lord do here? You know, you're looking at one that's faith is not very high, I'm afraid. But, you know, and I tell you that the truth. I mean, that's the truth. You walk into a gathering that don't speak English. You know, you don't know what they understand, what they would receive. And you begin to walk with these brethren and speak with them, talk to them about the things that we know, and there is a connection.
Yes,
amen. There is a door that's open. There is a door that is open. They begin to lay hold upon the things that are real to us. How are these things real to us? Are we so good that we can kind of explain the scriptures and go through the scriptures and convince them that you shouldn't do that, you should do this? Not at all. You speak the word and the Lord confirms it in the heart. Even though the language is different, even though the culture is different, the financial standards are vastly different, the climate is different, you name it. I mean, you can go down the list, there's nothing the same. The Spirit is the same.
Amen.
Amen. You speak the word and there's a connection. We are one by the Spirit. You know, we've been in meetings and these other brethren can testify that there is a prophecy goes forth in some language. It might be Swahili. It might be some other language. It goes forth and you don't know the words, but you know the Spirit is right. Amen. We are walking together as one body, joined in the Spirit. Nothing can overcome that. That is an indestructible bond. Satan will come against it and he cannot prevail. Because Christ has already overcome. We are walking a road today that has already been overcome. He has prepared the way. We stand before a door that has been opened unto us. All he is saying unto us, you stand up and you walk on that road and you enter into it. Amen. We are not going to stand back and just wait for things to happen. We are going to arise and press in, lay hold, possess, enter into those things that are before us to the full. The Lord has tremendous ways set before us. You know, He lays out a plan, and, you know, it's a tremendous thing. He said, you know, like I mentioned before, he knows the end from the beginning. He says, here's your destination. You might not know how to get there, but that's where you're going. And at that point, that is certain. Amen? That arriving at that point is a certainty. It remains for us to walk the road. And it doesn't necessarily mean that this is just kind of a cruise to... You know, it's not like getting on a 747, you get on in Toronto and you get off in Jamaica or something, you know. It's not like that. It's a walk. It's a walk of taking us where we are to the destination that he wants us to be. Not only spiritually, but even as in our personal walk, that we grow and mature and come to the place where we can handle responsibility, where we can be administrators of his kingdom. You know, the coming of his kingdom and the fulfillment of that is also a sure thing. It is a certainty. You know, there's no doubt about that. The only variable in that is whether or not I will be part of it. He's left some choice to us. Am I willing to walk that road? Am I willing to make him my head? Am I willing to submit where the shepherd leads? Am I willing to follow that path? And even in those times when the storm clouds are gathering and we're kind of a little bit afraid, And we kind of have to dig in a little deeper. He's working out something of value in our lives, even in those processes. He's raising up sons and daughters. You know, when you're raising your own children, you place a lot more emphasis on what they do than what the neighbor children do. You know, you might kind of tolerate some of the things that your neighbor kids, you may not like it particularly, but you're a little more tolerant to them. You have no responsibility there. But your own children are going to walk right. Amen? They may not always kind of like the path. They may not always like the consequences of kind of wandering a little bit, but they're going to walk the path. And, you know, I think the one that places that kind of a feeling in our heart is the same Heavenly Father that is guiding our steps. These children of mine are going to walk this path, and they are going to inherit the things that I have for them. Amen? Amen. I would just like to say something about this thing that's mentioned in here. Just elaborate a little bit on the hearing the word of the Lord. I don't know. Maybe it's not a difficult thing for most to grasp, but I found it particularly difficult growing up as a young person. I was kind of afraid that, you know, the Lord was talking to others and he wasn't talking to me. And it got to the place when, you know, I was kind of serious in my walk. I kind of came to the place where, you know, I made that commitment. I want to walk with the Lord. And I would hear people say, well, the Lord spoke to me and, I really was blessed by that, or I was instructed by that, or whatever it was. And I'll be honest with you, and I admit to being kind of a slow learner here, but I started to worry and thinking, you know, well, the Lord's talking to all these people, and he's not talking to me. And I want to walk in this way, but if he's not talking to me, I'm not sure I'm going to make it, you know. I don't know if you've ever thought like that or felt like that or just taken for granted that it would be okay, but I was worried about that. And the Lord had to help me, I think, a little bit with that, to kind of help me to understand how that works. And let me just explain how it works in the natural sense. You know, I can be up here thinking of something. Something's in my mind, and you have no idea what it is. Like, I might be standing here thinking that I kind of like the shirt and tie that Brother Brian has on over there. I might just go get one like that. But I'm thinking that. Nobody knows that. But when I think about it, if I want to communicate it, I have to form that thought into words, and my body is built to be able to do that. Your vocal cords vibrate, and your tongue shapes the words, and your teeth help, and you speak it out, and air waves get vibrated as you talk. And because we've learned English, when you speak it out, those vibrations go out at the speed of sound, like 1,100 feet per second. They just shoot out there, and it strikes your ear, and it vibrates your eardrum, and there's little bones in there that are connected to nerves that are connected to your brain, and your brain picks up those vibrations and it makes sense out of that because you've learned the language as a child. Those vibrations mean something, and you suddenly understand that Richard Holt thinks Brian's shirt is good and he might even go out and buy one. So the thought that was in my mind is now in your mind. And what the Lord helped me in all of this was to say he just didn't have to use that process. He can take thoughts that are in his heart, in his mind, and he can put it into my mind, and I begin to recognize it by the anointing of the Spirit. Amen. That did not originate with me. And I'll tell you, that was a huge relief to me. I thought, okay, I can manage with that. I've had that experience. The Lord has spoken to me. There have been times when something has just dropped into my heart, and man, that's wonderful, you know? That's wonderful. There's just something right about that. And that, if those things that come from the Lord will agree with the Scriptures, if they're from the Lord, they'll agree with what you believe and what you teach, what you say. It's one voice. He won't talk to me about things that are totally different than he's talking to you. We are his house. We are his family. He will be on the same page. He'll tell you what he tells each one of us. And it's like that when you prophesy. We experience that regularly. I think we're kind of accustomed to that. We just kind of take it. I wouldn't say take it for granted, but we're used to that. But there is, when someone prophesies the word of the Lord, if it's the word of the Lord, it just rings true in my heart. We're saying, amen, amen. If it's a little bit off, we just kind of let it go by. And we're all capable of just kind of maybe not always getting it 100% right. And that's a good check. That's a good thing. It just kind of falls by the wayside. But when something is ministered by the Spirit, our spiritual ears that the Lord has given to us just says, that is right on. That is my word. It doesn't matter who spoke it. That is my word. And we know it because we know his voice. Amen? And that's what he's saying here. My sheep know my voice. And another they will not follow. That second half of that is almost as important. There's lots of words in the world today. There's lots of very capable teachers in the world today with many theories and doctrines in the world today. And somehow those words can come out and intellectually they sound just, man, that's tremendous. That's such a great thing. And it's not ringing right in the Spirit. Amen? It is not ringing in our heart. Amen. And it just goes by the board. Yeah. We are his children. We are his sons and daughters. Not someday. Not sometime in the future. Today. Amen. We are his sons and daughters. We are walking in his household. He is our heavenly Father. He is teaching us the truth. We know his voice. We want to walk in his ways. We want to do his will. We want to grow up in his household and come to the day and the hour where we can carry the responsibility that he's preparing for us. And there is a growing and a maturing process as part of that. I remember when my children were young, and particularly my son was young, probably 4 or 5 years old. He had no doubt whatsoever that he could drive the car. There was no doubt. If you put him behind the wheel, he was ready to go. And what he really liked was the horn. I mean, the horn was a really good thing. And if I stepped on the gas and gave it a little bit of gas, that was good too. But he was behind the wheel, and there was no doubt in his mind that he could drive that car. And if he could get his hands on the wheel a little bit, and we'd sort of putter along, and then he was driving it. In his own mind, he was ready. But the reality was, he was not. I mean, he would not have made it across the street. I mean, he would have not gone from A to B. He was not ready. But the day came, as he grew in the household, he learned step by step to carry responsibility. Some of the things he learned the hard way. You know, some of these little ones have a mind of their own. Or maybe our family was different, I'm not sure. But they had to be instructed in a way that they could understand, sometimes repeated, sometimes with force. But finally, it would get through, and the day came when little by little, step by step, they could carry and handle responsibility. And now he drives a car without any problem. I'll ride in the car with him now without any difficulty. But you know, I think our Heavenly Father is kind of looking a little bit along the same way with us. You know, one thing, and I'll say this as a father, and I'm sure that comes from the Lord, but I'll say this as a father, that there is a connection there with the offspring that the Lord has put there. He has taken something of himself and put it there. You know, there is such a care and such a burden and such a feeling of responsibility for their welfare that it just is almost all absorbing, if you like. You know, you're just constantly just concerned with, you know, how are they growing and how are they maturing. And when they kind of miss the mark and get it wrong and maybe get a little self-willed and doing it wrong and knowing that they're doing it wrong and don't caring, you know it's time to step in. You know that that's time to correct that and get that back on track. But there is that care continually until those steps start walking right. And you can't help but feel that the Lord has taken something of himself and put it there. You know, that he feels like that about us. He watches us in our walk, how we handle responsibility. And I think sometimes, well, I can just get out there and I'm just, I really want to do this and I'm just going to do it. He said, just a minute, I don't quite think so. And maybe it's gentle and maybe it's not so gentle. I think not everything that we learn is always just by his gentle hand. It's corrected and we get back and we know, you know, I really don't want to do that again because, you know, I know how that turned out. But we have a very loving, caring, capable Heavenly Father that we are walking under the headship of. And, you know, he takes some of that responsibility and he places it upon the elders. He takes some of that responsibility, he places it upon the heads of homes, the mothers and the fathers. And in that structure, his kingdom is just blanketing the earth. That overall headship remains with him, but it filters down through the members of the body. It filters down into the homes. It filters down to the children so that Christ in reality is the head of the body, right from the top to the bottom, from the beginning to the end, from the outside to the middle. Every part is part of one body walking in order under his headship. Amen. Could there be a greater day or a greater hour than we are walking in today? Not a chance. Not a chance. We are not kind of putting in time waiting for the coming of his kingdom and won't it be wonderful then. We are not putting in time. We are learning to be partakers of his authority and administrators of his authority in righteousness. There is a responsibility resting there that when his kingdom comes into its fullness, it will be in order under his headship. No part out of place. You look at the natural body, which is the example that he has set, and what part of it, what detail of it is out of order? If there is a part or if there is a detail that's out of order, this body will not function to full capacity. You know, from an engineering perspective, that's not a good design. You know, an engineer will build in backup systems and duplicate systems. If that fails, this will kick in, and you know, all of those scenarios are kind of built in there. There's no backup. You know, we fit into our place. We either fit into our place, or somehow there will be a change come about because his body will be in order. It will be under his headship. It will do his bidding. And I'll tell you, when it does his bidding, there is authority at work. There is authority with that. You know, when Jesus ministered on earth, even the disciples stood back and wondered and said, what manner of man is this? He commands the waves and they obey. You just think about that authority. You try that. Prematurely. You know, we live by very close to Lake Huron. We go down there and swim when it's calm enough. And, you know, when those waves start rolling in, I could just imagine standing on the shore and saying, you be quiet. You know, they're not going to do it, not right now. But there is an authority that's coming into place, that the day will come when all power and all authority will be resident in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because his righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen. What will that be called? That's his kingdom. You know, we maybe think of the kingdom when, well, you know, boy, the weather's going to be perfect and the fruit is going to bear and, you know, we're just not going to have any more sickness. And I guess that's part of it. But I'll tell you, his authority will rule. Amen. It will rule in righteousness. That's what his kingdom is. That's what a kingdom is when the king rules. And, you know, it's coming. We are part of it. And it is rolling out, and it will not be stopped. We have a choice. Our choice alone is, will we participate in that or not? But that is our choice. He's left that part to us. If we say yes, then we'll walk in his paths. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's just way too weak. Amen?
Amen?
One more time. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We will walk in his ways. We will do his will. He will be the head. He is the head. And we will walk under it. And it says in Ezekiel 37, and I won't take the time to read it all. Ezekiel obeyed the commandment of the Lord and prophesied as the Lord had commanded him, and over all of these dry bones. And, you know, there was a coming together of these dry bones. When the starting point of that was chaos. You know, there was no order whatsoever. It was chaos. And when that word of the Lord went forth, the first thing that happened was order came together. And then the development of that took place, like the sinews and the other things came into place. And as he continued to prophesy, this hopeless situation, absolutely hopeless situation, came into order. And when it was completed, it said, they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And I couldn't help be really kind of touched by that. That in the eyes of the Lord, that he would call that exceeding great. You know? And you just think about that for a minute. I was just reading about creation. I kind of then flipped over to the time when the Lord, you know, kind of put creation into place. And how did he talk about that? And, you know, when he's describing that, he gets to the point where he's talking about the heavenly realm. And he said, well, I made those also. You know, that's all he says about it. I made the stars too. But when he, you know, to me, the stars are exceedingly great. That's exceeding. That's something that's exceedingly great. It's incomprehensible to me. I can't even begin to comprehend that. And that would be something that I would think that the Lord would have called, you know, that was an exceeding great accomplishment, these stars. But he just said, I made them also. But when he's talking about the work that he's doing today, he referred to it as exceeding great. And, you know, I think that's something to pay attention to. Now, he is not doing a small work. He's doing a work that will transform this earth. It will be the place of his dwelling. You know, I was reading just about the stars and so on. And I thought, well, you know, maybe they're not that big a deal afterwards, after all. And I started reading about some of the stuff. And actually, the closest star to us is like 4.5 light years. 4.5 light years is the closest star. So that's not so bad. I'm thinking, okay, well, that's not so bad. 4.5 light years, that's not so bad. But then you take the speed of light, which is like very fast. Come on, you scientists. How fast is the speed of light?
186,000
per second. Per second. 186,000 miles per second. That's pretty quick. It takes the light from the closest star to come here for almost 4.5 years, traveling at that speed. That's the closest star. That's the smallest thing that's out there. And he said, well, yes, I made those too, but I'm doing something of real significance right here. I would pay attention to the work that he's doing right here. I'd start paying attention to that. I just wanted to point that out. Maybe it's of no value or no interest to you, but it just kind of made me wonder, you know, well, how did he view some of these other... Well, he just did that too, so there you go. I'll just refer to a couple of scriptures here. He's talking about a new heaven and a new earth. And it's a spiritual thing, but no doubt it has very physical significance as well. You know, it would be a significant reconstruction, if you like, of things that will not just pass away. He talks about righteousness, and righteousness covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. That is part of the work that the Lord is undergoing today, where things are done in a way that is not just right in the eyes of man. That, you know, we're used to human government, but things are being set in order and in place today that will be right in the eyes of the Lord, where righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And that transformation is beginning with us, where we are learning to walk under his headship. And that is not, it's something like a child learning to walk in the house, in their parents' household. You know, we know from experience, we're not teaching something new here. We know that when we kind of get off track, we know we've just done something that is not something that the Lord is all that happy with. And we need to kind of get that fixed and make it right. Maybe you said something to someone that you know that you offended somebody, and it's not sitting right. You know you've done it. And the Lord is talking to you about it. What he wants from us to do is to listen to that. His right, he wants to see that right walking, that right doing taking place in our lives and in our hearts. When we have offended somebody, we need to go and make it right and correct that and get it right. We are learning to walk in righteousness. When we've done something that we know we should not have done it, make it right. And let our steps begin to fall in line with the things that the Lord is raising us up to be. He will not accept halfway. You know, it's like us in our family. If you told your son or your daughter, I want you to make your bed and I want you to do it like you've been shown, and he throws the blankets on there and says, I'm done. You know, I don't think mother would say, well, man, that's all right. It's not all right. You come back and you do that the way that you've been shown. And it might be 2 or 3 times. And I think we are on a path, something like that, where the Spirit of the Lord says, okay, Richard Holt, you just kind of get back there and you just kind of do that again. Until we start our steps start lining up in a very practical way in what the Lord is teaching us to walk in. And let his Spirit just have that liberty to flow amongst us and come to maturity. You know, Christ set that pattern of maturity. We're saying, you know, won't it be wonderful when, you know, we can do those works. Well, that's the pattern. That's the pattern. There is a road, a growth, a road of maturity to walk. Hearing his voice and doing it every time. And when we get to a point where it's not so easy, we don't just go a different way. That's not maturity. You look at the steps of a mature son. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That was his will. But what did he say next? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's the path to maturity. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Then we will walk in order. then we will do His will. Then His authority will rest upon His household. Then His kingdom will be established. It will rule in righteousness, because it's not the will of men. It's the word of the Lord and the authority of the Lord. And the Lord has placed that ability and that responsibility upon His sons and upon His daughters. That's the path. And He will not accept sort of halfway and that's good enough. He will not. Just like we won't in our families. We will come back to that and come back to that and come back to it until that offspring is walking the way that he's been taught and doing what he ought to do. So I'm kind of sorry for leaving a little bit of a harsher tone there. I don't mean to do that. But it is a tremendous hour. It is a tremendous hour. I mean, it is beyond the comprehension of man. Man cannot begin to realize what the Lord is establishing right here. And as only the Lord can do it, He does it step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, until it comes into its fulfillment. But this is an hour and a day like we have never seen before. And there is a door that has been opened unto us. And I'll tell you where we want to go is right through that door. Amen? Amen. Amen.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.